My name is Eric Rees, and currently I'm at Benalla with Pastor Lee Davidson. And as is often the case when I'm doing prophecy meetings, that I sometimes use segments of an event that took place 21 years ago, of a car accident that I went through. And so he's asked me to share some more of the details of that, Lord, that it might touch people's hearts, draw people's attention to the brevity of life. It's now 21 years since that tragic accident that took place on the 12th of October 2003, which claimed the lives of three people, including my dear friend and brother in Christ, M.A. Butler. We were traveling south on the Pacific Highway, having just spent the weekend ministering for the Herald of Hope at Numbucca Heads Baptist Church. The road was dry, visibility was very good, and on a straight section of road with an 80-kilometer limit just north of Taree, we entered the overtaking lane that was available to southbound traffic only. Having overtaken two or three vehicles, I observed a vehicle that entered the southbound overtaking lane from the back of the northbound traffic stream, and was both moving erratically and increasing in speed towards us. There was nowhere to go because of the vehicles either side of us. As I was driving, I instinctively moved towards my right-hand side of the windscreen to get a better look and braked. I remember remarking to Brother M.A., "I think we've got a problem." M.A. was dozing and he was very tired. I don't know if he even heard me. Then within seconds, the oncoming vehicle collided head-on with us and ricocheted off to our rear on the left-hand side, bursting into flames and incinerating the driver. My understanding is that the wife of the driver of the oncoming car released her seatbelt to enable her to assist her husband, who was experiencing a medical condition, and on impact was thrown out and killed. The impact of the vehicles and the releasing of the airbag which struck my chest rendered me unconscious, and I believe shortly after I awoke to find myself encapsulated in my seat. The windscreen was severely splintered, but I could see steam or smoke rising from the engine. I remember even putting my head through the door window because the glass of the window had been shattered. I looked over to M.A. and asked if he was all right, but there was no response. M.A. was home in the presence of our Saviour. He was, as the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Soon after, a young woman approached me inquiring if I was okay. As soon as she realized I was a pastor, she wanted to pray for me. I remember she indicated that she had been on a weekend Christian retreat. At the same time, I believe a man reached through the open window to turn off the ignition. Shortly after that, a young woman arrived indicating that she was a nurse, and when informed by the first lady that I was a pastor, she prayed for me. Can you imagine that there, in the midst of the tragedy of a triple fatality, high-speed motor vehicle accident, God orchestrated a prayer meeting? The nurse then proceeded to advise me that I should remain as still as possible until the emergency services arrived. Having observed that my Bible had been thrown out of the car, they picked it up and held on to it. I remember that while the emergency services worked on me, these two servants of God who had comforted me stood at the side of the road holding my Bible. And when the Westpac helicopter arrived to fly me to the John Hunter Hospital at Newcastle, they placed the Bible beside me on the stretcher. The Apostle Paul, in writing to his second letter to the Corinthians, said in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And praise the Lord, I've been able to use and share this verse many times with people that have been going through trials. On arrival at the John Hunter Hospital in Newcastle, I was admitted to emergency. The extent of my injuries were that I had suffered sternal fractures, multiple rib fractures, causing a bilateral frail chest, lung and cardiac contusions, severe bilateral calcaneum fractures on my feet. And as you can imagine, bruising was very severe. and I had difficulty in breathing. Also, while in hospital, my lungs collapsed with pneumonia, and I had what they thought was a bone infection in my right arm through a sepsis. Over the next 7 weeks, I spent two periods of time in ICU, the first being for 2 days when I initially was admitted into John Hunter Hospital, and the second lasting for 12 days in which I was intubated and underwent a tracheostomy on the 23rd of October. Then on the 4th of November, I was discharged from the ICU into HDU. This was to be my third time in HDU with a trachee, where the trachea was removed on the 7th of November, and then once again returning to ward F1 orthopedic trauma. Visits from friends were appreciated, but proved to be exhausting. From memory, the 18th of October was particularly sore, and although I didn't realize it at the time, it was the day of Brother M.A.'s memorial service, of which many of the brethren combined their visit with me and their attendance at the service. Up until the 4th of November, when I was discharged from intensive care for the second time, I'd experienced one crisis after another. There were times when I was gasping for breath, times when my heart raced to 160 beats per minute, and my temperature soared to 40 degrees centigrade. Emotionally, I was drained, no doubt as my body experienced post-trauma shock coupled with the side effects of the prolonged use of pain-killing drugs, which made me unsettled, agitated, and suspicious of every move by the nursing staff, that at times I began to question why God had allowed Brother M.A. to be taken home and myself left injured. And indeed, I questioned myself that I could even doubt in such a way. The progress was gradual and initially very painful. It was November the 19th, my first time in using a walking frame from the bed to the ward entrance, a distance of maybe 2 meters, rendered me physically exhausted and experiencing pain that needed to be treated. But the latter part of my stay, John Hunter enabled me to witness and give testimony to an almost revolving door of patients in my ward. It seemed that I was the resident patient. On the 3rd of December 2003, I transferred to Toronto Private Hospital for rehabilitation, which is only half an hour's drive from home. On Saturday, the 6th, MA's wife Kay came to see me. As you can imagine, it was a very emotional time. As we wept and prayed together, Kay came to see me again with Brenda, her daughter, and her two children who had made for me a very special get well card. Then while in Toronto Private Hospital, I received the news my mother had passed away in my hometown in Wales. It was probably the trigger I needed to release my emotions, and for some days found it hard to speak to anyone without crying. On the 23rd of December, I was discharged from Toronto Private Hospital just in time for Christmas, and on the 28th of December, Anne and I were blessed with the arrival of our first grandchild, a little boy named Oliver Morgan, born to our son Timothy and his wife Michelle. We now have 5 grandchildren, 3 boys and 2 girls. Rehabilitation continued for several months with twice weekly visits to have physiotherapy, checkups with the orthopedic surgeon, who just shook his head each time he viewed the scans that showed the deformity of my feet and marveled at their recovery without any surgical help. In fact, with the exceptions of the 2 tubes I'd inserted to drain the fluid from my infected lungs and the tracheostomy, the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ, undertook in a miraculous way as only he can do, and no surgery was required. With the exception of one day, Anne was at my bedside continually, emotionally experiencing the highs and lows of waiting, trusting, and praying. Not sure what the outcome would be, but knowing in her heart that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. For each one listening to this video today, each day is a gift, and we are but a breath away from eternity. As the old hymn says, we've only one life to offer. The Bible says in Psalm 19 verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. James 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Friend, if you are to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? If you can't answer heaven, then you need to repent of your sin. You need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, because you are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, repent, because the Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out with the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a wonderful caption that Paul paints in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friend, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. For whosoever, the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Time flies. Life is a vapor. Where will you spend eternity if you were to die tonight? God loves you. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason I'm giving this testimony is because the reality of life is that stuff happens. And tomorrow, you might not be here. Tonight, you might not be here. Where will you spend eternity? If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be separated from God forever. And you'll be experiencing a hopeless end. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would say, praise the Lord. Share your faith. And I trust you have that assurance of a endless hope for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.